So this morning, we would like to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to start looking at these fruit in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. You know, the Bible has several places where it has different lists. In some places, the Bible lists a bunch of sin. But in other places, the Bible lists some good things that we need to be doing in our lives. And Galatians 5, 22 through 23 is a list of good things that we can focus on and that we can work on every day of our life. And at the end of this list, the Apostle Paul says, against such there is no law. So you can practice these things and do these things as much as you want. And this morning, we're going to take a look at the first thing in the list. The fruit of the Spirit is love. In the future, we'll look at some of these other ones. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But the fruit of the Spirit begins with love. And that's a great thing to think about. And so this morning, I would like for us to think about what it means to love as one of the fruit of the Spirit. And there's a uniquely special idea that the Apostle Paul is trying to get across to us here regarding love, that it is something that flows from the Spirit. It's a spiritual thing. And we ask the question sometimes, what does it mean to be spiritual? A lot of people out there in the world today say things like, well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be spiritual? And a lot of times what they really mean by that is that they just want to be fleshly. But they say spiritual because everybody else says it, and they really don't know what it means. But to be spiritual is to be guided by God's Spirit. That's what it means to be spiritual. And we need our desires to originate from God's Spirit, within our spirit, not within our flesh. So there's two sets of desires here that Paul is talking about in Galatians chapter 5. The desires of the Spirit and the desires of the flesh. And on the one hand, you have the flesh, and the flesh, he says, lusts against the Spirit. And then on the other hand, you have the Spirit, and he says the Spirit is against the flesh. Those two desires, they're competing desires. And what he is elevating here are the desires of the Spirit, not the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh originate within the flesh, but the desires of the Spirit originate within the Spirit. And true love, and love has been made a mockery of in recent years for a long time. But true love is a spiritual desire. And we need to cultivate true love within our lives. As we think about love this morning, I want us to look at, you know, what humans define as love versus what God defines as love, what the Spirit defines as love. Those are two different things. But true love is a spiritual desire. And the fruit of the Spirit is therefore love. Number one, love comes from God. It originates within the divine. Number two, love unifies. And number three, love does not fail. We're talking about true love, godly love, spiritual love. That's what we're talking about this morning. Not human love. Humans do not define love. Now, when you go to college and you study about evolutionary theory, They're going to come out and say that all love is just a product of reproduction. That's all love is. It's just over-glorified sex. That's not what love is. The Bible does not teach that about what love is. And this is clear from Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to see in a moment, God is love. But look here at Galatians chapter 5, where we're at. And look at the contrast between sex and love that is given. He says in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, and what does he list? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Those are all things that have to do with illicit sex, right? The world wants us to think that's what love is all about. Love is just sex. That's all it is. False. That is false doctrine. We have got to reject that mentality. Love is so much more than that. The Bible teaches that God is love and that God has demonstrated his love toward us. John chapter 3 and verse 16 is such a great verse. For God so loved the world. That little word, that two-letter word, so. Sometimes we overlook that. But it means in this way or in this manner, right? God so loved the world. He loved the world like this. How? That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how God loved the world. That's the kind of love that God is trying to teach us. That's the kind of love that we need to emulate within our life. Think about 1 John 4, 7 through 9. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Love originates from God, from his Spirit. That's where true love comes from, not from the desires of the flesh, not from carnal appetites. And so we need to have the love of God define love within our life. He defines it for us by showing us. You see, Jesus demonstrated God's love, and God demonstrated love through Jesus. Look at 1 John 4 and verses 9 through 10. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God defines love. Jesus defines love. They show us love through the cross, through what God did for us when Jesus died there. Think about Romans 5, 6 through 8. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's the love of God. That's what true love really is. And that's what we need to think about when we think about what love is. Because we have some loving to do also. And those that we need to love are sitting around us right now. Love the brethren. We need to love one another. Think about 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so, there's our little word so again, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That is, if God loved us in this way, in this manner, then we should also do the same thing. Jesus said in John 13 and verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Jesus gave a new commandment. And you might say, well, God had commanded them to love each other back in the Old Testament. And yes, that's true. You shall love your neighbor as yourself is a command found in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe. But then Jesus came along and showed us what that really meant. He gave himself on the cross. He sacrificed himself for his friends. Greater love hath no man than a man give his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did. And it's this way, as I have loved you, Jesus said, that's how I want you to love one another. We've got to love each other as Jesus loved us. Not as the world defines love. Not as what we may think love is. But loving each other like Jesus loved us. That self-sacrificial love that Jesus practiced. That's how we need to love one another. Love originates from the Spirit of God. And this kind of love comes from God's Spirit. It doesn't come from the selfish flesh because this love is selfless. It doesn't come from the world. It comes from God. But then secondly, love unifies. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and love unifies. Human love divides. Think about human love, how it divides people left and right, all over the place. Well, you can see the results of that everywhere in the world. Human love, not godly love, but human love. Because this kind of love is focused on loving its own. I'm just going to love those who love me. Or I'm just going to love myself. And I'm not going to practice that sacrificial stuff that Christians talk about. Oh no. And what's the result of that? It ends up in what we call a dog-eat-dog world, right? Where everyone is just out to get something for their own. Or for their own little group. The Bible teaches something different than that. But this kind of human love creates what we have today in the political world with the identity politics. It manufactures social cliques based on sex and political viewpoint, gender, race, nation, etc. Because all these fleshly things come up as a result of human love. And it excludes those who are not in the group. And you can see that being played out today in the cancel culture, you know. And they are going to give people the boot. Is that love? No. That's not love. That's human love, but it divides. Spiritual love brings unity. True spiritual love. First of all, it comes from loving one another as God has loved us. That's the standard of love. That's who we need to look to learn what love is. And then this love is based on a standard of right and wrong behavior that comes from God. And God defines what is right. God defines what is wrong. And true love, you see, goes out and it seeks to work God's standard within the world. And what does that mean? It means that sometimes we've got to talk about people's behavior and that there's behavior that is right and behavior that is wrong. And you see, the world doesn't want to do that. They just want to validate all behavior. They just want everyone's behavior to be accepted. But you see, that doesn't produce unity. It produces division. Because if you don't accept me, then I'm not going to accept you. And there's always something that the world is not going to accept from their own. And you can see that playing out in today's world also. So we've got to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, Ephesians 4 and verse 3. Spiritual love creates true unity. Not unity based upon a false standard of human love, but unity based upon God's standard of love. That's where we need to go. Love unifies. In fact, the Bible teaches us that love is the bond of perfection. The English Standard Version puts it like this. And above all things, all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. I love that translation. Love binds everything together in perfect harmony. If we are loving as God loves us, and we are uplifting Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, then we can bind everything together in perfect harmony. It's when we get away from that standard of love, it's when we get away from God's truth, that there is division. When we love the way God loves, it prevents sin in people's lives. Think about 1 Peter 4 and verse 8. He says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Yes, love prevents sin. And love creates sacrifice. Think about Ephesians 5 and verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor, aroma. God's love translates to our loving one another and then practicing that sacrifice in our life also. And that creates unity. Because if I'm not insisting on my way, and you're not insisting on your way, then we can both agree on God's way and do it like He wants. That's true unity. That's love that unifies. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And love never fails. Human love fails. Look at all of the broken marriages. Look at all of the disease and problems that are caused by, quote unquote, love. What about the numerous orphans that there are because of people who have tried to pursue human love? Abortion. There's a great issue that's largely the result of false human love. True love doesn't produce these things. God doesn't do any of these things. His love is greater than this. His love doesn't fail. When love is our purpose and motivation, it's going to work to ameliorate all of these problems in life. Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. God wants us to love one another as he has loved us. He wants us to love him supremely and then to love our neighbor. This is our great purpose in life as human beings, to love one another. Think about 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 1 through 3 and how without love, nothing means anything. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love is our great purpose. It should motivate everything that we say and everything that we do. And without it, as the Apostle Paul says, we are nothing. Because love overcomes pride and it seeks to serve others. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. When we are loving one another as God has loved us, it is not going to fail. Human love will fail, but God's love never fails. And so let's love one another. Let's serve one another. Let's do what's right by one another, by uplifting God and his Son, Jesus Christ, letting them be the standard for our life, and humbling ourselves before him and before one another to do his holy will. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. When we let God's love live within our life, the fruit of the Spirit will be evident. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. Because love originates from God. Love unifies. And love never fails. When that's the kind of love that we have displayed within our life, then others are going to know that, yes, this person is a child of God. Yes, this person is a Christian. Yes, this person is demonstrating Jesus Christ within his life. That's how they will know that we are his disciples, by loving one another as God has loved us. So let's practice love within our life. Let that be what motivates us in every opportunity to do and say the things that God wants us to do. And perhaps this morning, you are called to live a life of love. How do you start that life? How do you begin that life? Again, we've got to come to Jesus. We've got to let him be the standard. Let him be the guide. It can't be self. It's got to be the Christ. Through hearing his word and believing it, repenting of sin and confessing him as Lord, you can be baptized and identify with Jesus Christ this morning and begin that life of love. Human love will fail. God's love never fails. If you need to become a child of God this morning, we'll be happy to help you with that. Or maybe you need the prayers of the church. We'd be happy to pray with you and for you this morning. Whatever your need may be, you can come now while together we stand and while we sing.